you have your Bible with you, turn tonight to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, begin at verse 12. The Bible says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you," now listen to this, "henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Amen. We've been preaching for the last little bit on being followers of Christ. Amen. Following Him and being devoted to Him and dedicated to Him and all these things that we need to be in order to be followers of Christ. But as we get there tonight, I want to look at this in a little different aspect. In this thought, Jesus said, you can live it. Jesus said, you can live it. Amen. As we look at this tonight, and Jesus is talking to the multitudes here, talking to His disciples, and He says in verse 12, "This is my commandment." He said, "This is what I command you to do. This is what you must do." He says, "that you love one another as I have loved you." He said, what He said in here, Jesus is saying, "You love each other as I have loved you." Jesus had an unconditional love. Tonight, if we ain't careful, we condition our things, our love on circumstances. We condition our love on what happens around us and what we feel. But Jesus said, "I want you to love one another as I've loved you, unconditionally. Even if somebody's hurt your feelings, love them anyway." Amen. If you don't feel like it, love them. We don't have to always like people's ways, but we need to love the people. Amen. A lot of times the reason they do things they do is because they don't know no better and nobody loves them enough to come alongside them and show them the love of God. Amen. That's why Jesus was telling, He was preparing people for a place prepared. He was getting ready. He was giving information that would help us in this journey. Amen. And then He goes on in verse 13. He says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Amen. He said, it takes love to lay down your life for your friends. We've heard stories, multiple stories, about folks who was in Korea and Vietnam and World War I, World War II, and even in Afghanistan and in Saudi Arabia, about soldiers that would give their life for their buddies. They would dive on a live grenade or something and give themselves so that their friends could be spared. Their comrades in arms could be spared. And it takes something special to do that. Amen. But Jesus said, this is the kind of love that we need to have one for another. Now you think about that. Would you dive on a grenade for one of the folks in your church? Oh, me. Amen. He said to have that unconditional love, that he would lay down his life for friends. Then Jesus says this in verse 14. "Ye are my friends." Amen. He said, there's no greater honor, he said, than if somebody could lay down their life for a friend. And then he calls them friends, and he goes and he lays down his life for them. Amen. That's unconditional love. Amen. Jesus said we can have this same love. We can do these same things, praise God, with the help of the Lord. We can't do them by ourselves. We don't have it in us. But with God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, and Holy Ghost of God, we can do those things that's pleasing to God. We can live tonight in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Amen. As Jesus speaks, He said, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." He said, I'm not going to call you servants. Amen. Notice the authority that Jesus teaches in. He teaches with power and authority. He always teaches with power and authority. Amen. Amen. He's always preached. They marveled at the authority at which he taught. They marveled at the authority that Jesus would proclaim these things. But even when he was preaching with the authority and the power that he's preaching with here, when he says, I give you a commandment to love one another. Amen. But he's never overbearing. Amen. He never says, I'm going to make you do this. As the Son of God, I'm going to force you to comply. The Lord never forces us to comply. If we're going to love somebody, hey, friend, it's got to be you. See, we're living in a day in a world, praise God, when we try to love people and we don't even know how. When we're not willing to give ourselves sacrificially to that person, amen, it's hard to make it work. True love is when you put that person before yourself. Amen? That's why America's struggling. That's why 2/3 of the church family today is married and divorced. Because we haven't learned to put that other person first. Amen? To love them unconditionally and put them first. What makes them happy? What gives them joy? Amen? What keeps them going? But when we finally get a hold of this, well, God can bless us. But God never, never puts his authority on us and makes it the forbearing on us to where he says, I'm going to make you do this. Amen? But he allows it to be the will of God, allows us to do the will of God. Amen? To do the things that's pleasing to the good God of glory. And he kind of speaks to this in John chapter 7 and verse 16. Jesus says this, Jesus answered them and said, he was in a temple and he was preaching with that power and that authority. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned, verse 15. He said, Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Amen? He said, the instruction I'm giving you, the Bible I'm giving you, the Godwardness that I'm giving you, he said, it don't come from me. He said, but his that sent me, if any man will do his will, now listen to what he says, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. See, Jesus was saying here, he said, we need to seek the will of God to know, praise God, what God would have us do and where God would have us to be, even in this late hour that we live. Realize that we're almost out of time. Amen. We're living in the last days, in case you haven't looked around. Amen. As we look at it, and the sister back here was talking about studying the book of Revelation, and you can see this thing just fitting into place with the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, and it's all coming to an end. It's coming to a close. We're starting to see a getting off point. Amen. Even in the near future. But as we see this thing and realize where God's got us at, and when we seek the will of God and he gives us direction from his holy right, amen, that the doctrine that we have, the instruction and the truth about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, is manifest to God's people. Amen. Even so the more in these last days when everybody else is trying to get away from the gospel. Amen. With fables and fairy tales and little sitcom acts and all the other things that's going on in so-called churches today. When we need most of all is the precious Word of God. Something that'll minister to our hearts and point us in the right direction so that the devil won't come along, praise God, and sidetrack us. But I'm afraid he already has. But we begin to think on these things. Amen. We begin to realize that the Lord is speaking to us because of the love that he has for us and the desire, amen, just to follow in the way that God would have us to go. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't speaking of himself. He wasn't speaking for himself. He was speaking of the Father. Amen. The one that loved us enough, praise God, that he had sent his only begotten Son to die for old sinful men. Amen. But God began to make a difference here. And we begin to see. Amen. But if we ain't very careful, we get to thinking, you know, that we don't have no way to do this, that God is, he's going to dictate to us everything in our life, and he's going to put everything right in place, and he's going to program everything for us because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. God's not going to do that. God wants us to think for ourselves. Amen. I think about these young people that we got that's going through the church, and they go off into these liberal colleges, and you know they are. I mean, they're just as liberal as rags. And they go into these liberal colleges, and the first thing they do is indoctrinate them, tell them, you know what? There's no such thing as God. It's just a fairy tale. Don't believe it. Now let me show you the truth. It all began with a big bang, and something blowed up. Amen? And you know what's the matter with our children? They take it hook, line, and sinker. Amen? I would have to ask the question. And they would try to ignore me. But I'd hold my hand up there until he got so annoyed with it, he'd have to call my name. You know, look down there on his row book, and row 47, seat 6, Mr. Massey, what's your question? Sir, you said something blowed up. Yes, sir, and that started evolution. I say, well, sir, let me ask you a question. Where did that something come from? Amen? See, they don't want to go there. They don't want you to know, praise God, that what was created, what we have, praise God, was created by God. Amen? And that they're standing there, praise God, breathing breath, sucking in good air, because God created them and made them that way. Amen? God don't want us to walk around like a bunch of zombies. Amen? He didn't just save us and have us just march around like robots doing the will of God. Amen? Say, you do this, you do that, and this is the way you do it. God didn't want us like that. He didn't create us like that. Amen? He created us to be three moral agents, praise God, to think for ourselves, to react for ourselves, and to act for ourselves, praise God, and to react for ourselves. Amen? And how we do that determines whether or not we please God. Amen? And God allows us to do that. Amen? Because of His will. Praise the Lord. He allows us to do that. He don't give us. And if you'll notice, Jesus in Himself, in the Bible here, there's a lot of times that He never gives a direct answer. Have you ever noticed? I didn't notice the other day. I got to thinking about it, and they was asking Him questions. And I was thinking on the children here in the church. And I'm hooked up on this thing. You know, the children go to school and they get their questions answered. They take a book and they open it. And I was talking to somebody here the other day, and they said that they were talking to their children. And a little one had been asking, a little girl had been asking questions about the Bible. And the brother told me, he said, Pastor, what I've been doing, I've been taking opening the book and showing her in the Bible. I said, woohoo, praise God, we're starting to get it. Amen. 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 Because if we don't open the book and show them what thus says the Word of God, amen, well, they say, you know what? I know where I saw that at. Amen. This liberal world that we see here, praise God, is going to indoctrinate them. They're going to invade their minds, amen, and they're going to destroy a nation. Amen. Well, I tell you what, we're already on the downhill slide. For 40 years, we've been letting that mess go through our schools. They done took away the Bible. They done took away the praying. They done took away the godliness. They done took away the godly influence. They want to destroy and tear down. Well, the devil's got this thing figured out. And he's a working his plan. Amen. But if we get our children, praise God, and when they have questions, open the book, praise God, and say, right here's the answer. And I was thinking about that. And I got to look at this. I started thinking, well, how did Jesus answer the questions? He hardly ever had just a direct answer. Said, this is how it is. But what he did, he gave them enough of God. Amen. Enough from the throne of grace, praise God, where they could make an informed decision. He said, I don't want you to be a robot, Brother Jeff. I want you to think for yourself. And while you're doing that, I want you to think about me. Amen. Allow me to be part of your mental program. Amen. As you're focusing in and you're trying to do the things to bring glory and honor to God's name. Amen. Does that make sense? That's what we've got to do with our children. We've got to open the Bible when they say, well, Daddy, what about evolution? You turn over Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Amen. He created the heaven and the earth. Now, if your Bible says heavens, it's wrong. Amen? You got a NIV or a XOB or one of them other ones. Amen? But we got to take them back. We got everything, praise God, needs to point back to God. Amen. Getting us ready, preparing us. That's the way Jesus did. He always answered a question, sometimes with another question. Because God wants us to think. Amen. He don't want us just to be robots. Going along, I will serve God. Will you serve God? Oh, I will serve God. God never intended us to be that way. He created us, praise God, that we could be living human beings, praise God, with a mind to think on God and a mind to not think on God. Amen? And how much time when we have, how much influence we give Him, praise God, with our mind and in our heart, praise God, will make a difference. It'll determine who we are.
Amen.
Amen. Same with our children. How much time they spend with God, how much time you spend with them in God will determine who they become. It's a known fact, our children's going to be just like we are. Amen. The way we live, the way we act, the way we—they're going to do. Just they're going to be the same person. Mamas, your little girls are going to grow up be just like you. Amen. Daddies, your little boy will grow up; he'll be just like you. Amen. So when you look in your mirror of a morning, you better be determined whether you like what you see or not. You know, whether you woke up grouchy or not. Amen. Amen. So we need to decide how we're going to do. And Jesus allows them, amen, with no direct action. He allows us. He makes them think. Amen. Let me just give you a few of these tonight. I was thinking on this, and we'll go to the house. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, Luke 10 and 25, Jesus was talking to the lawyer. And the Bible says in Luke 10, 25, said, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How reads it?" So what does it say? "And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." Wow. "And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Amen. He said, if you do all these things, amen, like you said, he said, you'll live. You'll have that eternal life. But listen to what he says. This guy wasn't content with that. Amen. He says, but he willing to justify himself. That's where most of us come in. See, pride rises up. You say, well, wait a minute. There's got to be something better than that. You know why? You know why he done that? Because he might not make it. He might not do all the things like he ought to do. Amen? If you start trusting the flesh to get you through, you might come short somewhere. Amen? He said, just himself said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Amen? Good question, huh? Amen? He said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, now listen to his answer. He doesn't say, well, you know what? Brother Rex, Bill Bryson is your neighbor. He lives right out the road from you. That'd be your neighbor. And then, you know, and Andrew, he just lives around the corner there. Andrew and Miss Brenda, they'd be your neighbor. And Jesus don't do that. Listen to what he says. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Amen. A certain man, he went down and said, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, you see this, a certain man, and a certain Samaritan, amen, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? See, Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? That fellow down the road, that fellow over there, that's your neighbor. And that's your neighbor, and that's your neighbor. He said, you know what? He said, they was a certain fella. Said, you don't know him. But said he was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, and they wounded him and left him for dead. He said, then the religious crowd come along, and they said, you know what? You look rough. You need some help. And went his way. And then the Levite, the law come along. He said, boy, you know what? What I understand, if you hadn't have done this and done that, you probably wouldn't got in this mess. Crossed over and went down the other side. Huh? And then said this good Samaritan. Now, Samaritan was supposed to be a heathen people. Amen. They wouldn't even, a good, honest Jew wouldn't even go through Samaria because they was a bunch of heathen. Amen. They was a mixed breed. But this good Samaritan, certain Samaritan, come along and seen this fellow, had compassion on him, and took him up and bound his wounds and poured in oil, set him on his own feet, carried him to the inn. Got some care for him. Told the innkeep, say, listen, here's you some money, and I'm going to come back through in a few weeks, and said, if it costs you any more than this, I'll pay you then. But Jesus asked this fellow, this lawyer, he said, which one of these do you think done the best? Which one of these do you think was a good neighbor? Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying he gave him something to think about. Amen. Let him figure it out for himself. Amen. He didn't paint him a picture of it and just say, hey, look, this is the way it is. He said, which one do you think? Amen. God made us to think for ourselves. To realize that there's a great big God out there that loves us and cares for us, and He's there to show us and direct us. And He said, and the fellow said in him, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Amen. He said, you figured it out. He said, well, go and do thou likewise. He said, do like that Samaritan. Amen. Do good and not evil. Praise the Lord. So the Lord is painting a picture. He's showing them how it ought to be. Amen. Another story we have is John chapter 21. Peter was talking to the Lord. And he says to him in John chapter 21, verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Now Peter was asking the Lord about John. You know John the beloved. John, the one that was always trying to get as close to Jesus as he could. One that was always, at the supper, that supper table there, while Jesus was eating, John had his head resting on his bosom. Amen. He was literally listening to the heartbeat of God. That's how close John was. Praise God, he couldn't get no closer unless he was sitting in his lap. Amen. And Peter looked around at old John. He said, Lord, what about this fella? See, if we ain't very careful, we get to thinking about the other fella. You know, old Jeff, if he would do such and such and so, and what about us? Amen? What about me? I haven't arrived yet. Amen? I don't think any of us have arrived yet. Ain't none of us holier than thou yet. He said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. And I don't think any of us is there yet. Amen? We need to consider ourselves. And Jesus told Peter, he looked in between Big Bill, he said, if he tarry till I come, what's that to you? Amen. He told Peter, he said, you need to follow me. Amen. See, let me read it to you. I want to get word for word. Jesus said to him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He said, follow thou me. Amen. What'd Jesus tell him? He said, don't you worry about John. He said, Peter, what you need to worry about is Peter. Amen. We worry about everybody else. We want to fix everybody else's problem when we got problems of our own. Amen? We got problems that we ain't fixed yet. And I don't think we should be trying to fix other people till we get our own in order. Amen? As somebody always says, sweep your own front porch. Amen? We got to get our own house in order before we try to get somebody else's. If not, we just get confused and in a mess. And we're running to and fro, and it's kind of like doing four or five things at once, and some people just ain't coordinated enough. Amen? And we just get ourselves in a mess, work ourselves into a frenzy, and never accomplish nothing. And if we ain't very careful, next thing you know, we get discouraged. Amen? But Jesus said, hey, if John tarry till I come, if he stays here till I come, he said, what's that to you? Amen? He said, he said, Peter, you follow me. Amen? He said, you focus on Peter and let me worry about John. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we have to just back up and fight in order to live it, praise God. We've got to back up and we've got to focus on ourselves. Amen. I've told you and told you again, I'll tell you again. When I was dealing with some anger issues, I had to back off for a while. I had to give myself, like we do kids, a time out. Amen? I had to give myself a time out, and I had to get along with God, and I said, God, we've got a problem. And I'm not going to be satisfied until we get it fixed. And guess what? We got it fixed. Then I took myself back out of time out and got back in the game. Amen? Sometimes we need to take a time out, amen, and get ourselves straightened out, and you get back, then get back in the game. Amen. We don't want to get disturbed. We don't want to be defeated. Praise the Lord. We won't be able to live what God's telling us to live. In Luke chapter 13, the Lord tells us, a fellow's asking him about salvation and about who can be saved. How many will be saved? Luke chapter 13, verse 23. And the Bible says, then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Amen. He's asking a question. He said, is there just a few going to get in? You know, what kind of number you got, Lord? How many's going to get in? Pretty good question, ain't it? Well, this is what Jesus said. And said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. Now listen to what he says here. He said, strive to enter in. He said, how many's going to get in? And Jesus said, you know what? He said, I'm not going to answer that. How many? I'm not going to give you a number. He said, I'm going to tell you. He said, strive to get in. He said, start working at it. Amen. Start working to do right with the help of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, you told us before, you don't wake, you work your way into heaven. I mean, I'm going to say, praise God, we've got to put some effort into this thing. Amen. If we claim to be a born-again child of God, amen, it's time that we start being one. Amen. We have to put effort into it to do right. With God's help, amen, then we're able to do it. But we can't do it, amen, without the Lord's help and without some effort. Amen. He didn't just save us. We're not robots, remember? He saved you and boom! Super saint. He don't do it that way. He saves us and then he sanctifies, sets us and begins to set us apart. Amen. So he sets us in a place where he can begin to use us for his glory. Amen. And he said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you. See, he brings it down to a personal relationship. I say unto you, we'll seek to enter in and shall not be able. Amen. So the Lord says, hey, listen, let me just bring it down to where you live. Amen. You need to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For broad is the way that leads to destruction. And he said, you don't want to go that way. So you got to strive to find the straight gate. Amen. That way in. To live, praise God, to begin to live a life that's pleased Christ, to be a follower of Christ, amen, to get in this thing. So how do we do it? Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Amen? He said, that's how we get in. That's how we begin to do this, how we begin to live that life. We begin to love the Lord with all our mind. Amen? That means we begin to think on it. We begin to meditate on the things of God. I wonder, let me just ask, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have ever just took time, just sit down, shut your eyes, and just think about God. Think about the Lord, what He's done for you. Think about the Lord, where He's brought you from. Think about the Lord, where He's taking you to. Think you may maybe imagine that place that's prepared. Imagine when you get to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Hey, I mean, just meditate on those things of God, the things that we know. Just putting them in your mind, amen. Just get. It's like when I went to Jerusalem. Before we went over there, I read all through the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, I read through them three or four times. Just focusing on the Gospels. And then when I went over there and began to walk in Jerusalem, Galilee and Nazareth, man, it was just like a picture book. And I could just see the Lord as He went to these different places. When we went to the well at Nazareth, they said it was the very same well that had been there for over 2,000 years. And I can see the Lord Jesus with His mother Mary, praise God, running down there to fetch water. And little did she know, praise God, that the water of life was right there beside her the whole time. Amen? What are you saying? I said, we begin to put it in our mind. We begin to think about it, praise God. Then we can live it. Amen. We begin to see it. We can vision. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. I think we've lost our vision. Amen? We're not looking for things that's better. We're not looking for things that's God. We're satisfied. Amen? God help us to never be satisfied here in this old world. Amen? I know Miss Eve sings, I'm satisfied with a little cottage below and all that. I don't think we ought to go around to wanting this and wanting that. But we need to be satisfied with what God. We can't be satisfied with the world. Amen. We got He's greater things than that. And Jesus, He said, He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. Amen. Think upon Him. Meditate upon Him. Amen. Let Him be a presence in your life. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, He would say to him, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. See what the Lord is doing. He's given us an opportunity. He's not dictating to us. He's not being overbearing in our lives. But He's saying, you know what? I want you to think about some things. I want you to listen a little bit. God's got something to say. Amen. God has something to say. He wants to speak to us. He wants to encourage us. He wants to uplift us. Amen. In John chapter 15, verse 16, He said, you have not chosen Me, but I have chosen you. Now get this, in the next three words, and ordained you. He said, you haven't chosen Me. Brother Andrew, He said, I've chosen you. And He said, I've ordained you. He said, I've set you apart. Amen? He said, I ordained. Brother Rex, He said, I've chosen. You didn't choose Me. He said, I chose you, and I've ordained. I've set you apart. Amen? I've set you apart. I've separated you unto Myself. Amen? He said, because I'm going to bless you and help you and grow you and nurture you and lift you up, and all I need you to do is just live what I put in you. Amen? You know why a lot of people can't live it? Because they don't have the liver. Amen? You don't live without your liver, you don't live long. Amen? Your liver goes bad, you know what happens? As soon as your liver goes bad, within just a few hours, you start turning yellow. Amen? And in just a little while, you're gone. Because you can't live. I preached a message here several years ago on the liver. Amen. The liver's got two sections, a big section, a little section, with a piece of cartilage in the middle shaped like a cross. Amen. The blood, everything that you take in has to go through to one side. It goes through, and it goes through the cross, and it comes out on the other side, and then it's pliable, it's good, it's able to be used for the nourishment of your body. Amen. And without the liver functioning in you, you don't have life. I'm afraid today there's a whole lot of people, as Brother Ralph Sachs Sr. said, sitting in their fundamental independent form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. Amen. He said, you better get the real thing. He said, you better search for the real way. But Jesus said, I've chose you, and I've ordained you, I've set you apart, and I've gave you life. Amen. And he that gives, he gives it in abundance. And we just take it in, and then we begin to live. We live out what's in us. Amen. When we put Him in our mind, we think upon Him, we got Him in our heart, praise God, then He's going to come out. Amen. But I wonder today what's coming out of us. What's coming out is what we're putting in. Amen. What we're putting in, that's what comes out. If we put a whole lot of world, a whole lot of self in here, that's what's going to come out. But if we put a little bit of God in there, I tell you what, a little bit of God will do a whole lot. I mean, I tell you what, if you ain't going to read and study your Bible and pray and all this and meditate and things like that by yourself, well, I tell you what, you ought to be geared up when you come in here to say, Lord, please help me just get all I can and can all I get while I'm here. Amen? So I can go out of here and be what you want me to be. Because in order to do this, Lord, we'll do what Jesus wants us to do. In order to be followers of Christ and live in it, we've got to be hooked up. Amen? We've got to be listening, Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be individuals, praise God, that love the Lord and is seeking His appearing, looking for Him. Amen. Desiring Him in our lives day by day. Knowing that He's there to help us. We have to have received. So how do you get this, Pastor? By receiving what He's put in us. By receiving the spiritual help that God Himself gives us. Longs to give us, wants to give us. We have to be willing to receive the spiritual help God has for us. How much? You say, well, preacher, how much do you have? You know, I need a lot. Amen. Oh, me. Amen. I need a lot too. But He's got it in abundance. Amen. And if the more we want of Him, the more He's going to give us. Amen. Because the more we desire of Him, the more it brings glory to His name. The more it uplifts Him. See how if we're not getting in this thing, how we're cheating ourselves? Amen? By not getting under the fountain? Amen? We're cheating ourselves. But Jesus was telling, He didn't. He said, I'm not going to force anything on you. I'm not going to force what I've got. But He said, I want to give you all of it. Amen. So that you can live a life that's pleasing to God. Amen. So that you can be a follower of Christ. He said, that's what I want to help you to become. Amen. He said, I've got everything that you need. Amen. It's already been paid for. And all you got to do is just pull up the table and receive it. Amen. And he said, as you begin to do it, he said, a starting point is just to love your neighbor. Amen. In verse 12, he said, this is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. He said, a good starting point is just to love one another. Amen. Love each other even if it kills you. Amen. Amen. Love one another even if it kills you. Amen. Because you go out of here with a smile on your face, saying, I've done the best I could for the good God of glory. Amen. Amen. Just love each other. That's His commandment. He said that's the best starting place is to just love one another. Amen. And God began to bless you, and He sees that. Boy, it brings a big old smile to His face. Can I just imagine God sitting up there? A lot of times we imagine Him as a great old bearded, gray-headed fellow with a staff and a sour look on His face. God of wrath. God of punishment, sure He is. But boy, I tell you, I believe when we begin to love each other, begin to exhort and uplift one another, well, I believe it brings a big smile on His face. Amen. And God the Father reach over and says, God's Son, boy, that's one of ours, ain't it? Amen. Boy, it tickles my, boy, it blesses my heart. Amen. Bring glory to my name. Amen. Why? Because He said, that one down there is living it. Amen. Jesus said, He said, Father, that's because He's got the liver. Amen. 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 He's got the liver. And He can live it. Amen. Well, if we got the liver today, we can live it. But we're going to have to strive. We're going to have to put forth some effort. And God will help us. Amen.